here's a story from The World.
Tomorrow, Lebanon will mark a somber anniversary, 1 year since a massive explosion at the port of Beirut that killed more than 200 people. Thousands more were injured and displaced. Large sections of the Lebanese capital were leveled. It seemed to symbolize many overlapping dysfunctions in Lebanon, from the pandemic to one of the worst financial crises on earth, according to the World Bank, since the mid-19th century. From Beirut, Rebecca Collard has our story.
In a church about a mile from Beirut's port, a priest leads Sunday Mass. There are just a few dozen worshippers in the massive hall. The scars of the blast that destroyed this neighborhood 1 year ago still mark the church. Marble plaques shattered on the walls, stone columns cracked, and the church is still without windows. And the scars of the worshippers are much deeper. 20 members of this parish died that day. Father Ilya was giving a sermon as the blast ripped through his church. In the days after, he held funeral after funeral.
Every day for 2 weeks, I had, for example, three or four.
He says something that I have heard dozens of times from Lebanese over the past year.
I lived all the Lebanese wars, civil wars, all the wars, but nothing like this, nothing like this.
Outside the church, Father Elias shows me the graveyard. Even the dead were not safe from the hundreds of tons of ammonium nitrate that exploded in Beirut's port. When I was here 1 year ago, many of the graves in this cemetery had been blasted open by the explosion. The smell was thick and awful. The bones of those long deceased uncovered in their tombs. Father Elia buried the blast victims next to those open graves.
For example, this one, the owner didn't fix it.
It's still just kind of open, they just put this. Most of the graves have now been fixed, or at least closed, but other repairs will have to wait. In the past year, Father Elia has had to make tough choices, as inflation skyrocketed and poverty among his congregation rose dramatically. 6 days a week, the church hands out meals. Raja Hadwan began volunteering here 2 years ago, and she says since the blast, more and more people have come asking for food.
And everybody is in need, you know.
She says without the program, families would go hungry. Basic foodstuffs have tripled or even quadrupled in price since the economic crisis began in the fall of 2019. Salaries have not. And the pandemic meant many people lost their jobs. 50% of Lebanese are now believed to be below the poverty line. And Hedwan has just 100 meals a day. Every day, she has to turn people away.
We can't have more people, but the demand are growing.
On a chair, there's a pile of used children's clothes. Clothing has become impossibly expensive for many families, and pharmacies are running out of medicine. Outside, I run into Norma Irani. I met her the day after the blast, and like so many in this neighborhood, her home was destroyed. But she refused to leave and stayed in her doorless, windowless apartment without power. She invites me to come see her apartment now. On the way, we stop at what used to be her homeware shop.
We need money to buy the stocks.
But the stock comes from abroad, and Irani doesn't have the money to import it. Not that many people in her neighborhood have the money to buy it either.
No electricity now?
We climb the four flights of stairs to her apartment. The government is only providing 3 or maybe 4 hours of electricity per day. The generators can't keep up with the demand for the other 20 hours. And the fuel to run them has to be bought on the black market. Inside, the windows and doors are fixed, but the fridge is filled with donated food, bread, cheese, and vegetables.
This is from the association. They help us. And This also. We cannot buy. Really.
Yeah.
So we need the
and
help.
Meat? You keep meat in the freezer, or are you worried
no,
about
No, the freezer. Look, my freezer.
It's empty.
Yes, of course.
No meat, but Irani says she knows she's lucky. She has her home, and she's not going hungry. She says Lebanon badly needs help, but...
only the people, only, not the government, not at all.
Back at the church, Father Ilya says his congregation needs hope. So many like Irani have no faith in their government or their leaders, and for good reason.
They have to trust the future of their country. And even now, we don't have it. So we are preparing ourselves to the worst. You see, we are still in the darkness.
A year after the blast, Lebanese leaders still haven't formed a new government. A government needed to make reforms and meet the conditions of the international community, to unlock billions in badly needed aid and loans. And in the meanwhile, Lebanon sinks deeper into crisis. For the world, I'm Rebecca Collard in Beirut. From PRX.